Essentially, I'm a psychiatrist, trained in general psychiatry and also in child and adolescent psychiatry, and finally in addiction psychiatry. Addiction psychiatry dealing with alcohol and drug abuse and other forms of addiction. I have been in the area of substance abuse for more than 15 years now, having introduced to this by the late Dr. Di Miranda. And in terms of development in the area of substance abuse, I am a member of the board of the International Council on Alcohol and Alcohol Abuse, ICAA. And I also serve on the addictions section of the World Psychiatric Association, where we develop policies to give direction to the World Psychiatric Association in terms of what to do in the field of addictions. I serve on the board of the African Association of Psychiatrists as a Secretary General, but I also deal with issues of training in terms of psychosocial interventions for substance abuse. For instance, motivational interviewing, cognitive behavior therapy, and so on, the relevant so-called evidence-based psychotherapies. We do training in all these areas. I also link up with institutions in the United States, in Europe, and so on, in the area of substance abuse. An example here is a meeting we have in 2 weeks' time in Kampala, Uganda, where we're linking up with the International Office of Medicine, International Institute of Medicine in Washington, D.C., where we are developing core competencies for management of certain disorders, including alcohol abuse and management, schizophrenia, depression, and epilepsy. And I'm a leader of the group that's dealing with alcohol. Locally, I've always been a member of the CDA, in or out of committee. I served in the committee that converted the central, the Drug Advisory Board into the Central Drug Authority, and we developed the first drug master plan of the CDA. When my term ended, the first term ended, I continued to function with social development, and I presented different papers at like the recent summit that we had in Durban for both social development and Department of Health. So I continue to provide that guidance. I function a lot also with the provincial forums for social development and health in Gauteng. Every year when they have meetings, I give talks on different things. For instance, some of the topics that I think are relevant that the CDA and any other authority that deals with area of substance abuse should take into cognizance have to do, for instance, with underage drinking. It have to do with the increase in intravenous usage of certain drugs such as heroin and so on. But I think what's also coming up strongly, it's an area that we're trying to develop a process for, is advocacy for providing more support for the area of substance abuse. Because I think we're getting reports every day in the newspaper, but we don't get the voice from the CDA indicating to communities as to why it's important to be aware of the problems associated with those substances. I think we should be having a spokesperson within the CDA who will respond, you know, with advice from the committee or the relevant authority where the CDA is located to educate the community, the public, about problems of substance abuse. I supervise dissertations in my department in the area of substance abuse. I have completed dissertations now on cannabis and its relationship to mental illness. We see a lot of substance abuse in mental illness in the psychiatric world. So I promote this area, and then someone is working on a dissertation on substance abuse amongst university students, particularly first and second year students, because they drop out. And what's come out very clearly is that because of the stress of entry into university, they resort to substances. And it's not just boys, it's both male and female students. So we are trying to work in that area. But at this stage, we hope by the end of next month to have developed a template in terms of developing the core competences for management of substance abuse. I'm also a member of ISEM, which is the International Society on Addictions Medicine. And in 2008, we had a major conference here that brought about 500 international experts to share with us competences in the area of substance abuse. I've recently joined ASEM, which is an American Society of Addictions Medicine, as a corresponding member, because we get information from these international societies. And I think this is critical, because we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And my interaction with these societies has brought up two important issues, that we are most probably 5 to 10 years behind in terms of understanding addictions as a brain disorder, not just as a behavioral problem. There are interventions psychosocially that are relevant, some of which I've mentioned, but also there are medications that should be available. And thirdly, there should be human resource availability, properly trained people to administer some of the medications at different centers. I'm a strong proponent of having substance abuse units in public facilities, such as general hospitals. Yes, there can be private centers or separate centers where people can be sent for chronic care, but I think it's very, very important for every public facility, a district hospital, a secondary or tertiary level hospital, to have a unit that manages substance abuse. Just to round that off, in terms of the personnel to be trained, you need all levels of stakeholders, from the NGOs that I've worked with. An example here is a 5-year program that I did with UCLA, training workers within the 32 SANCA centers in the country on best interventions in management of substance abuse. And the NGOs obviously will have nurses, they'll have social workers, they'll have other people who are interested people who were trained on site. Those are the auxiliary workers. But we need to train more psychologists, medical officers. In this country, we're not having more psychologists, we're not having more psychiatrists, but we're having a whole army of a new breed of doctor called the family specialists. These are the frontline doctors in terms of first assessment of people with substance abuse. They function as family doctors in the communities, in the casualties of different departments in hospitals. They are the people who will do the initial screening. For instance, there's a problem about detoxification. Who detoxifies people who are acutely intoxicated from different substances? It's a multidisciplinary problem. Firstly, it must be the medical people. Neurologists come in, psychologists come in, and psychologists would take the process forward, and sometimes we have to refer to rehabilitation centers. Finally, I think from my experience in the 10 years that I worked with the CDA in the past, we need to carefully look at issues of accreditation. A number of our centers that provide rehabilitation for substance abuse are not well accredited. They might have registered properly, but no one really looks at whether what they provide at these centers is what they say on paper. Are those people trained? Do they have any certificate? Is there evidence that they know what they are doing? That is why we did the study with UCLA. Initially, we just went round from province to province to the SANCA centers and found out what sort of therapies or interventions these centers were providing. And most of them said they were eclectic, you know, they do everything. But when you say break down eclectic, clearly there was a problem. It is just, it could be a spiritual intervention, it could be a bit of psychotherapy, supportive psychotherapy, educational psychotherapy, and so on. Hence, we then expose them to what we call the metrics model. The Western province here, Western Cape, is using the metrics model. I brought the metrics model here through UCLA. And that really is a combination of a number of strategies, cognitive behavior therapy, motivational interviewing, contingency management, and so on. We then decided, after a brief feasibility study, to ask people, what do you want to be trained in most? And most of the participants wanted to be trained more specifically in cognitive behavior therapy, because it's time intensive, it's very specific, you don't waste people's time, people don't stay too long at the rehab centers, it is very focused, and we empower people in a shorter time, particularly if they are not chronically addicted to various substances.
Thank you, Professor. Professor, you mentioned that the CBA has no voice and that you believe there should be a spokesperson to give it a voice.
Yes.
The other problem facing the CBA is that it's perceived to have no teeth or credibility.
Yes.
You know, for example, many departments don't submit their reports in time.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or producer. So how would you rectify that if you were appointed to the board? And then my second question is, because you mentioned alcohol quite a lot.
Yes.
What are your views on alcohol advertising, and how do we combat the scourge of alcoholism?
Okay.
If you could just answer that.
When we started the Central Drug Authority, the idea at the time was to make it an independent structure that would either be supported by the presidency or deputy presidency, but that would be a little out of specific departments like social development or health, because it's a multidisciplinary issue. But at the time, things were such that it could only be located in social development. Now, the location for me should not be a problem as long as the following things happen: that it has independent financing, and that the secretariat of the CDA is well supported. We struggled to get support to the secretariat. It's a little better now, but it was a serious problem. Thirdly, I think if it's located in the department, there must be a clear demarcation between the role of the department vis-a-vis substance abuse and the role of the CDA. There should be a clear demarcation. If, for instance, there is a financial allocation to the CDA, it must do just what the CDA has to do. Thirdly, I think in terms of, I'm aware of the devolution into various departments, the mini master plans that each department is to carry out. There must be someone who, you know, I think the CDA must have a director, a chief director, an assistant director. One of those people must be able to follow up other departments. The assumption has been, if state health is given a mandate to work within its operations to promote certain aspects of the master plan, they will do that. But I think people need follow up. Labor, same thing, and so as other ministries, even social development itself. So there must be somebody who is appointed, who is employed, to actually follow up. You know, and so that support system is crucial. If you don't have it, you'll have one director or deputy director who does everything. For instance, we wanted to develop a library. A bit of that library has developed, but if the same person is looking after the library, taking calls, coordinating minutes, and so on, and then following up departments, it's impossible. So staffing of the CDA is crucial to make sure that it functions properly. And that staff must not be shared by the ministry that where the CDA is located. That staff must have its independent functions. I think that that's possible today. When we started then, maybe there were issues about whether this would work out properly. But I think there's been an evolutionary process. And when I look at the second draft master plan, the issues are very clear. You do need staff. Finally, I think CDA members should not try to do things that they're not supposed to do. They are really there to make sure that there's policy and that they must guide, you know, departments, provinces, districts in terms of implementation of that policy and follow up and explain their role of the central drug master plan. Because you do need this. Every country, Britain, United States and so on, has this central policy. Whatever they call it, they may call it this or that, but the same thing, it's like the drug master plan for the nation. That master plan should be implemented by all ministries and districts and so on. But what I found recently is that some CDA members want to be involved directly in the research, which compromises them because they're actually custodians of policy. They develop the plan. And if they get involved, you pay them or not. Is that part of their function? Yes, they can guide, they can check, but I think they should not be directly themselves be involved in that. But they must guide and also recommend to various institutions that could support research. If you take, for instance, the CDC in America, Center for Disease Control, there's a huge budgetary allocation. I also didn't mention to you that we've done a lot of work with NIDA, National Institute of Drug Abuse in the USA, and also NIAAA, National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. They have dedicated money that they allocate per grant application to various institutions, not necessarily highly academic, you know, centers, but also NGOs like Sanka and others to do specific research, and then that data is looked at the end of each year. Now, it is then brought back to the bigger pool, which is then disseminated nationally in terms of new developments. So I think those are the key things: staffing of the CDA, proper financial allocation, and also objectivity of CDA members. They must not try, if you, for instance, allocate money to University of Pretoria or to Sanka, I think the CDA member who might be associated with those centers might be able to keep a distance so that he must not directly interfere with what that center may be able to do in terms of research.
Thank you.
And I mean, the final thing is that spokesperson.
Yeah.
That spokesperson either has to be the chairperson of the CDA, a confident person who will be out there in our faces in the media. If something comes up, that person must have the permission, they must be trusted by government to make appropriate statements in line with the national agenda about the ills of substance abuse, the reasons why we want to, you know, decrease or stop substance abuse, why these substances are dangerous. And so we have to be talking about this every day.
Thank you, Professor. I would just like to know, what can you do to ensure that the CDA accounts for its work on accountability?
Normally, any board or structure should have meetings, and at every meeting, there have to be reports. And those reports, they must be collated into an annual report that comes to the relevant clusters, portfolio committee, and so on. But of course, firstly to the ministry where it's located or structure where it's located. If you don't have that, then you don't know whether the CDA is working or not. My understanding when my first term ended was that each term would be such that the CDA has specific targets, and then at end of each term the CDA would review how far they've gone in relation to those targets. For instance, it was very important that before my first term ended, to see the secretariat going to different provinces to introduce the CDA and encourage people to understand what the drug master plan is, and then come back with those reports. After that phase, people have been given or have committed themselves to certain small projects, you then have to say, we'll come back to you. Now, this is where financing of the CDA is critical. The secretariat has to be able to go back. If they were in Limpopo, for instance, to discuss issues there, take regional problems, like, for instance, Western Cape, we have, you know, tick as a big problem. But in Gauteng, we have Nyaope and other concoctions as a major problem. The CDA should know what is happening in that area in terms of the spread or the size of the problem and also the interventions in place. They should be able to go back and bring reports that can end up also in Parliament for parliamentarians to understand that we have a body that is addressing this issue specifically.
South Africa is expressing the high rate of homelessness.
Yes.
With new drugs entering the country, can you outline what some of the challenges associated with substance abuse are, and how do you think, if maybe you can be appointed to the board, CDA can play a role to address those challenges?
In this field, clearly the CDA must have two big arms: the arm of law enforcement and the arm of demand reduction. I think with the changes that took place a few years ago, there was confusion in law enforcement in terms of how far law enforcement goes. It's important to manage our ports of entry, airports and so on. That is critical. There must be a clear budget, there must be no limitations, and of course we have to have trusted people there. But now as we see that happening, there must be a strong wing of demand reduction. Substance abuse is a chronic relapsing condition. All over the world, there's no country that can say they can manage it and reduce it to zero level. You're managing relapses. And the relapse rate in most countries is still 60%. But if you don't do anything, it's higher. So even if you do a lot, like America puts in a lot of money in this, and the UK puts a lot of money, you are able to reduce relapses to about 30-40%. And therefore, you are able to improve the quality of life for most people to a certain degree. So if you don't do anything, the situation gets worse, the complications. So funding must be available to have people trained to do certain specific interventions. Issue of advocacy must be there. There must be a wing within the CDA that deals with advocacy. And that must be able to cover all the provinces. And I think schools are a major point of entry also, because most of the drug dealers target young kids at schools. That's a serious issue. You've seen some of the videos, you know, the cell phone things that were picked up and so on, where kids were under the influence of one drug or the other, doing things that we've never heard of before. There must be something about educational department, its role in terms of management of substance abuse. So in short, I think we need to strengthen law enforcement. And law enforcement must be part of CDA, and they must work very closely with the demand reduction component. And they must be able to indicate to us which are some of the points of entry, and we have to deal with those communities. Now, CDA obviously is a small number of people who will be the custodians of the policy and guiding the country. They have to then have people in various centers who will address different issues. But training is critical. Yes, or Solomon.
No, I'm not going to say Solomon.
Solomon, okay. I don't know Solomon, I know Solomon.
His name is Solomon. Ratayman.
Ratayman.
And I said, my reply called me Solomon. He said, no, call me Solomon. And I said, no.
I'm
joking. Solomon, I've looked at your CV. You have, you know, much experience in terms of psychiatry, substance abuse, and the areas that you've touched now when you're telling us about you. I think my worry was only the communication strategies in terms of CVA. Because CVA, you know, most candidates that were interviewing, they were complaining about CVA not being known.
Yes.
You know, in most provinces. CBA must be known at the level of local government.
Yes.
Not provincial.
Right.
The problems are, you know, at the level of local government.
Yes.
And one of the candidates spoke about, you know, she went to the mayor and she found that the mayor doesn't know anything about CBA.
Mm.
But what can we do, or what can CBA do to make sure that the CBA is known at the level of the community? Of course, it did touch talks about media, but I have a feeling that there's much more that we need to do besides media.
I agree with you. Last year was a meeting. I was at a meeting in Nairobi, and one of my senior colleagues was impressed by what Nairobi or Kenya was doing in terms of alcohol abuse, and said we don't. And he said we don't have a structure in South Africa that deals with these issues. And I said, no, don't you know about the Central Drugs Authority? Now, for me, wherever I speak, my first two slides are about the CDA. Whether it's in Europe, in America, wherever I go, I make sure people understand we have a national coordinating program under the Central Drug Authority. We have a national master plan, national drug master plan. I think that is critical. A few months ago, social development was looking at their involvement, the provincial wing in Gauteng was looking at their strategy for substance abuse. And then a CDA member came to present, but did not talk about the CDA, talked about research done by researchers elsewhere. Now, it's important to do that. Then at the end, people are whispering, but what is the CDA? Because we thought this person was going to talk about the CDA. And I said, that's precisely why wherever I go, I preamble my presentations with what the CDA is and how it relates to other similar structures in different countries. So CDA members must know very clearly that they have to make sure that at different levels, wherever they get involved in forums, local, you know, national, they must explain what the CDA is, and they must really, that's a major mandate. If they don't do that, people won't know that they're organized. Secondly, I find that there's a lot of wastage. When I went to talk at this meeting on social development, a few weeks before then, we received documents from Department of Health asking us to comment on the developed strategy for substance abuse. Then I said, but we are all in Gauteng, then there's health and social development. Why are they developing different strategies? Why shouldn't they just understand the National Drug Master Plan and pick things that they can do within the same departments? But instead of saying, for this province, social development will do this, health will do this, and develop a completely different strategy. It should be a joint strategy. They should share certain elements of that strategy. I don't know whether this is clear. But we cannot have a workshop today where we are developing one strategy, and then a few weeks later, we put in money, we involve people to come and sing and dance and so on, we provide food, and we are developing a new strategy. Same province. I think that's a bit of a waste. That money can go into implementation, into spreading the understanding of the problems associated with drug abuse, and people can be taught more. So, in short, it's not just the media. There are many forums.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I don't know whether CDA people talked in churches and so on. Do they visit schools to give talks to school children? I think these things are critical. If you don't do that, the kids won't know. You know, they won't know. We have to be able to develop packages. If as CDA members we cannot develop those packages, we should have money to help, to have centers that can do that without guidance, develop strategies, visual images that show young kids where they'll end if they continue abusing drugs and so on. And of course, the fundamental thing is education and their future.
Mm-hmm. Chair, most of my questions, you always ask them. Okay,
I'm fine. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you. 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 Subject, I think that runs through from the time about life falling cases. Where I believe that the people about life skills.
Life skills, yes.
Is it something that does not include the
Opponent, yeah.
Advocacy. Prevention.
Yes. I think earlier before we came in, I was talking about advocacy. It has to go down that level. But you know, one of the difficulties that the education department is facing is that everybody wants to put in so many things into life skills. You know, moral regeneration and so on, they want to put it in life skills and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be a quota of a number of things that can be included in that to have a decent syllabus. But in between, you know, there are camps that kids go to and so on. Why not have somebody to also run workshops there on the dangers of alcohol and drug abuse? I think that would help. And then schools would have to report to education department what they have done in relation to promoting understanding of the dangers of alcohol and drug abuse. The question I didn't answer on alcohol advertising, you know, we were sort of commissioned by the ministry many years ago to go and look at countries like Singapore, Thailand and so on, where alcohol advertising is reduced, there is definitely less usage by younger people. It's only when they reach certain later ages that they become aware of alcohol and they can use it like other adults and so on. I also didn't mention that I've given talks to the industry. I have tried to engage, for instance, South African breweries and so on. And I've given talks, and I only gave talks on condition that they allowed me to say what I want to say openly. You know, but of course, the more you say those things, the more they want to avoid you. Advertising means you are promoting a brand or promoting a substance, and you want more people to buy. If you don't advertise, not so many people will buy. And then, I mean, tomorrow, for instance, I'm giving a talk in Limpopo. There's a conference on pediatrics there. My talk is underage drinking. And basically, the talk is aimed at showing that if you delay the onset of use of alcohol, the chance of abusing alcohol in later years are reduced. But if you start early, you destroy the brain quite early, and you may drop out, you may not achieve your goals and so on. So advertising is a key issue. As to whether we'll manage the process properly, that's now an issue at the higher government level. You know, but countries like Singapore banned advertising of alcohol products, and it has helped. You know, it has helped. So that's one call that I think should be supported. People will still use alcohol, but maybe they may start later, and therefore they will not abuse, you know. But the earlier you start, the higher the chance of abusing. Yes, Johannesburg is not easy.
Yeah.
Before you finish, can I just make one more point?
Yeah.
In terms of research, we have very good research centers in this country. Medical Research Council has a good unit. HSRC has a good unit. Universities have research units. I think they must be used. CDA should not shy away from working together with those research centers. I mean, the work by Charles Perry and other people in the HSRC is phenomenal. We use that data to educate. Thank you very much.
Oh, I thought these are the last ones. Only the four. No, it's really a good one.